The next paper, on-farm evaluation of nematode-resistant cotton varieties, Dennis Burns, Charles Overstreet, LSU Ag Center.
The side transfer's not working. Look at what your pointer is. You can use this space bar.
Okay, thank you. In 2015, we initiated an on-farm evaluation trial of four root knot nematode resistant cotton varieties in Tensaw Parish. The four varieties we chose were Phytogen 427, Phytogen 487, Stonewall 1532, and Stonewall 4946. The Czech variety, which is non-resistance, was Stonewall 5289, and this is what the farmer was going to plant in the field. Another factor that went into this was he has palmer-resistant, Roundup-resistant pigweed in the field, and he wanted to be able to use Liberty, so we had to be restricted for that. But these plots were six-row plots. They were approximately a little over 1,200 feet long, repeated four times. They were strip trials across multiple soils, and they were, it ended up each variety had about 2 acres of total area that we picked. This is the field that we worked in, inside the black square. That is the area of the trial. These are fields, this one and the ones across the road and nearby are ones we've worked in since 2007. They are, traditionally have high nematodes. They are silt loam soils with a little bit of clay, a little silty clay loam is part of them, but they're all very good to do nematodes. We've done a lot of site-specific application of telon in these fields and worked out those procedures. This particular field has three soil types. You have a Bruin silt loam, which is kind of a sandy silt loam, a commerce silt loam, and then a commerce silty clay loam. The commerce silty clay loam is probably the most fertile part of the field. It's generally the highest yielding part of the field. I didn't know which part of the field we would be in the spring, where we were going to plant it, so I just went and pulled a nematode sample in general to make sure they were there. This is a field, this was from couple of years ago, the last time we actually worked in the field, and this shows you just the history of what's out there. I mean, root knot in the Bruin, we've got 3,800, 1,900 in the commerce, silt loam, and in silty clay loam, none. For root knot, for reniform, we have 16,000 in the Bruin, 23 in the commerce, and 32,000 in the silty clay loam. And the field was in corn for the previous 2 years, and part of that was to try and reduce some of the nematodes pressure. In the fall, I came back in the fall and pulled nematode samples after we picked. And you can see what jumps out at you right off is the 5289, which is the non-resistant, and you'll see what the nematodes levels are with it. They went up tremendously. They started off pretty high, even in the Bruin. I mean, we're talking almost 3,000 in the Bruin. And then they go to, I think it was 7,050 in the commerce. And then, of course, dropped off when they went back to the commerce silty clay loam areas. The other varieties, the resistant varieties, this was 1532, and that was 4946. They still had a significant amount of root knot present in the Bruin, but they dropped off significantly when you got into the commerce and then into the silty clay loam. It just virtually none. The two phytogen varieties, the 487 and 427, showed much lower levels in the fall after the crop was done, after harvest. This seems to indicate that they actually reduced the populations of root knot that were out there in the Bruin cell loam. Now, when you went on into the commerce, they just dropped off, and I don't really know why, the 427 actually went up a little bit in the commerce. Not sure why that is, but it just showed up like that. On reniform, they're all pretty well grouped together in the Bruin. They're kind of all down in here, ranging from about 12,000 down to, I think it was a little over 1,000 in some of them. But then as you go on through the field, they all go up and keep staying, or some of them do drop off. The 1532 went up consistently all the way across. The same thing with the 5289, it went up, but it did kind of level out into the silty clay loam. The 427 here again had a reduction in the commerce. That was unexpected. Did not expect to see that. And I'm not sure exactly what went on there, but it will have to be looked at in the future as far as seeing if that is a possibility of it. But it was pretty much the same. They were all pretty well grouped together in the brewing, so I'm not sure what went on there with that. Okay, we get to yield. Yield was a normal, you'll see this is normalized yield. We got out to the field, we had a weigh wagon, we picked everything with a yield monitor. The whole plots, all of them were picked with a yield monitor, and we had a weigh wagon out there to get a calibration factor for each plot. Well, as we got started, we had a weigh cell go out on it, on the weigh wagon, and by the time I figured out that I couldn't fix it in the field, the farmer had two bull buggies and a picker sitting there all lined up in a row, and he was looking at me. So we just had to go on and go with it. So what I did was I normalized the yield for each variety, and with that way, you're able to compare them, how they yielded in the different soil types, and as they go across, what percentage it was. You can see the 5289 started off low in the brewing, which has the highest number of root knot, and then it just steadily went up until it got to the silty clay loam. The same thing with the 1532. It started off really low as far as a percent. This is a percentage of yield in each soil type. What percentage of the total yield? The normalized yield is you take the total yield for a particular area, you divide that into each, you take the average of that and you divide that into each yield point, so you come up with a percent of what the yield is, of what it is. And you can see it started off low here, and then it went up as you got on back to where you got out of the root knot population pressure, and it increased in yield and went on up. The 487 actually was a little lower here, than I thought it should be, but then it kind of went up and leveled off. It didn't seem to matter once it got out of the brewing. The two varieties that were fairly consistent just across were the 427 and the 4946. You see they're not exactly flat, but I did expect to be a higher yielding into the silty clay loam, because like I say, that's generally the highest yielding part of the field traditionally. But they do all seem to be more flat. It didn't seem to affect them as far as what the presence of the root knot. It just didn't seem to bother them as much as far as yield goes. And I went back afterwards and looked at it again, and I separated it out into what the silt loam soils where the root knots were present, and against the commerce silty clay where it was just reniform. Here again, you look at the 5289 and 1532. You know, had a lower yield, lower percentage of yield in the silt loams, and then went straight up into the silty clay loam in the higher yield, greater percentage of it. The 487, it moved up some when you added in the commerce where it got a little more resistant, yielded a little bit better, and they all kind of and the other two, of course, the yield increased because they went to a more fertile part of the field, but it seemed like that the root knot didn't bother them as much as far as their yield production in those areas. I put this slide in here because, as I showed you the field a while ago, right across the road, we had this trial last year using Telone and 427. It was with and without Telone. It was a similar type trial, large scale. And I wanted to put this in here because there's been a lot of talk about whether or not the resistant varieties you're losing yield. And we saw this last year, looking to brewing, either the Telone treated, and this was 3 gallons of Telone injected into the drill approximately 2 to 3 weeks before we planted. And you'll see in the brewing, we had almost no difference in yield. When you got to the commerce, you do see some separation there, but this is the tunica clay. That particular field has some really clay on the end of it. And the 427 by itself actually out yielded that with the Telone. This trial actually led into the one we did this year because we wanted to see if there would be some, without the Telone, would there be any kind of yield drag and what we could do. This is an NDVI image I took at late season. This was about a week before we planted. before we defoliated. I wanted to get one in first part of June. Normally when you see the time of year, at that time you see nematodes showing up in our area, you'll see weaker stands, weaker plants, plants dying. You'll see all that comes up. But this year, because of the weather, we had frequent rains, it just seems like we couldn't find a time, or we tried a time or two to fly. We couldn't get good pictures because of clouds or rainy weather, and then it just passed by and we weren't able to get it. I walked the field numerous times, and other than being able to pick out the varieties, there just didn't seem to be a lot of nematode effects this year. I mean, they just didn't seem to be bothering it. And then, of course, as the summer progressed, we're right on the Mississippi River. This field is a half mile from the river. The Mississippi River stayed high until the first week in August. And I think that this field was sub-irrigated because it still never showed stress during the year. You just couldn't go out there and say, this field's got nematodes in it. It just didn't show up what you normally think. But, so I went out there and I flew this, like I said, right before defoliation because I wanted to see if anything would show up. And you can see that it was separated. The NEVI picked up pretty much where the soil types were. This is the Bruin up here. You can kind of see where it's a little bit later in maturity. This is the Commerce in the middle. It's all pretty well even except for these four strips. And those four strips are the 1532. It was a little bit later. I know the farmer actually had to delay. This was the last field he defoliated because it just wouldn't get ready to defoliate. It just kept hanging on, had a lot of open bowls. And then you look down here and this is where the silty clay loam picks up and you can see it's a little bit later. It's hanging on too also. But it did show up, like I say, and I've seen this where we've seen individual varieties on maturity show up, and we see that with the 1532. In summary, root knot and reniform are major soil pests. There are varieties currently being developed with root knot for sure, and my understanding is they're doing some with reniform. The absence of nematode pressure doesn't seem to affect yield as much as we thought it did or were thinking that it would. But a big thing is this one right here. If these nematode resistant varieties will actually reduce the populations in the field of the root knot, then that carries over into the next crop, whether it be soybeans, whether it be corn. I know we've done some stuff with corn where we've seen some increases using telone with corn for root knot, and this could play into effect in a farmer's strategy for the next year, for if he's in a corn-cotton rotation. And that was one thing that came out of this that was kind of unexpected to show up. I want to thank Phytogen Cotton Seed and Stonewool Cotton for their assistance with this. Thank you. Any questions?